News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to the always cool Shane Beattie. It is Monday the 16th of September at 6:31. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking about data centre supply company MTM Engineering, and we'll be looking at tourism and over-tourism and all the international news. You can email us business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the tip-top company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, TJ. You well? You have a good weekend, I hope?
I had a lovely weekend. I was in Leopardstown Racecourse watching the Gigi's.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm looking forward to what will be a lovely week, apparently, weather-wise. What's it going to be like in Brighton?
It's supposed to be okay, I gather. Yeah, it's supposed to be dry and sunny, which would be lovely after last week's deluge. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Talking about things going down, Chinese shares, their lowest since 2019.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, a bubble in the Shanghai Exchange burst in 2015, and since then, the market is the headline index has halved. But since that sort of 2019, why has it gone back to 2019 levels? Well, i.e., before the pandemic, well, it certainly hasn't been helped by the pandemic and a very lengthy lockdown in China, from which consumer confidence has struggled to recover. There's been a government pushback on conspicuous consumption, and indeed on entrepreneurs. Jack Ma lost his position at Alibaba for speaking out. Bao Fan, a technology entrepreneur, he seems to have disappeared there. Once
there's been, I love the way you say he lost his position.
Yes, he was.
It was disappeared.
It was disappeared. There's been a real estate bubble collapse, and also you've got international pushback on China. China's been a huge exporting power, and now you've got America, European Union, applying tariffs on some of its key exports and trying to deprive it of key technology to further its industries. So there's an awful lot of things going wrong. The other thing that so the economy, while it's still growing at around 5% a year, a figure that we in the West would think was absolutely fantastic, it's proving a struggle to maintain that target. And from financial advisors, investors' perspective, corporate governance issues abound, as you say. You've had top executives who've either been disappeared or had their position disappeared. And there's that nagging feeling that in the end, China, well, it'll run its economy and run its companies how it wants to do it for the benefit of the Communist Party rather than necessarily the benefit of investors. And that's why a lot of people are just shying away and thinking we'll take our money elsewhere. Your capital goes where it feels welcome. And you could argue it doesn't always necessarily feel welcome in China right now.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Interesting to watch whether India takes the place of the rapidly growing super giant in Asia. Gold hit a new high over the last few days.
Yeah, it's just coming up to $2,600 an ounce. It's up by three quarters, basically, in the last 5 years. Why? Well, there are lots of possible explanations. Some people view gold as a hedge against inflation. Some people view it as a hedge against recession. Some people view it as a hedge against just something going wrong somewhere. I think if you generally look at when it's done best, it's when central banks and policymakers haven't been in control or perceived not to have been in control. And I think if you are looking at one area, well, clearly where financial markets are getting a bit fidgety, is they've been expecting for some time a cooling in inflation, which they're getting, a soft economic landing, which they may or may not be getting, and interest rate cuts to sort of keep everything on road. I think what markets are getting nervous about is, are we going to get a harder landing than we thought? And in that case, the central banks go quicker than they would do normally and take a chance with inflation, which is still kind of knocking around. And the issue that's lurking in the background is debt. It's reached all-time highs in so many different areas. And America's interest bill on its government debt is now running at $1 trillion a year.
Shocking.
That's a fifth of its tax take. It means it's spending more on interest than it is on defense, which I wouldn't view as necessarily a good thing for many different reasons. And I think that's why markets are maybe getting a bit worried that central banks will keep rates low, even if inflation does try and get its head back above the parapet again, because the governments just cannot afford that degree of borrowing that they've racked up, either for good reasons, you can argue, through lockdown, or potentially if you were taking a harder view, profligacy during other times. So maybe the debt is the one that's maybe got gold bugs getting excited. Now, clearly, lots of other people view gold as a useless, inert metal. Warren Buffett says if a Martian landed on Earth, tripped over an ingot, they wouldn't know what to do with it because it doesn't do very much. But you've seen a lot of gold miners buying each other recently. So gold executives seem to think there's something good coming around the corner. financial market seems to be paying attention.
Now, the biggest company in Europe by market cap is the Danish company Novo Nordisk. Of course, they do the famous Wegovy and Ozempic weight loss drugs. And Roche are trying to gain in on the act, but the FT has an interesting take on that.
Yeah, as you would expect, if somebody's making an awful lot of money doing something, then somebody else will try and get their piece of the action. And Novo, as you say, of Europe is the market leader. Eli Lilly of America is another major player there, and its shares have octupled in the last 5 years because of its weight loss drug. And now Switzerland's Roche is getting in. But the FT has been to a medical conference in Madrid where Roche and other challengers have been admitting that there are some strong side effects of their injected or pill versions. Now, I won't go through all the details because a lot of people will be eating their breakfast out there. but one of the things that I can mention is apparently muscle wastage is one potential unfortunate side effect. So these gut hormones, these pills are designed to replicate what a gut hormone does by reducing blood sugar but also suppressing appetite. But they do other things to you as well. And some high-profile users, like the former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, actually stopped using these pills because of the side effects. So it's not a straightforward path to riches by any means. And clearly, perhaps not all of these drugs are suitable for every would-be user.
And of course, Boris has so much muscle mass that he wouldn't want to do so much. Staying with the Financial Times and coffee, because a lot of people will be caffeinating as we speak. There's a story about coffee prices.
Yeah, I mean, last week on this slot, we talked about the price of rice in Japan, prosciutto in Italy, and orange juice around the world because of the effect that weather is having on supply or swine fever is having on pigs in Italy. This time, yeah, it's coffee. The price at $2.50 a pound on the commodity market is basically an all-time high. And the FT's Italian correspondent's been sniffling around the espresso bars of that wonderful country and finding that the traditional €1 espresso, that's now a thing of history. It's €1.20, and some bar owners are even saying it could go to €2 pretty quickly because of the coffee price, utility bills, wage increases, and all those other things. So again, the pressure's on, and that, you know, a lot of these small family-owned bars, that Italian tradition of a cornetto and an espresso on your way to work, the heat is on there as well. Weather's got an awful lot to do with it, but also again, shipping because of those attacks in the Red Sea, the boats carrying the beans having to go the long way around the Cape of South Africa rather than through Suez, and that's adding to the costs as well.
And now, I don't know what you pay in Brighton, but there's no way you would get an espresso or a cafe in Ireland for less than €3. That is just not possible.
I think even a €2 espresso in the UK would be seen as absolute manna from heaven for coffeeholics, I'm sure. So, yeah, it's still a pretty good deal, I would think.
And before we go, there is an old phrase about kind of sell in May and go away, and then you come back on St. Ledger's Day, which is coming up, has been.
It's just been.
So was that a good bit of advice to sell in May and go away?
This year, you've missed a tiny gain in the UK stock market. I mean, if you look at the averages since 1965, the stock market does best between January and April. Then it's flat in the summer and has a little bit of a rally going into Christmas. And that's the average. But clearly, it's an average. It doesn't work every year. This year, we had a decent start to the year. We've had a flattish summer, so you can maybe say. So I guess the question now is, do we get the run into Christmas? Do we get the Santa rally? And again, a lot of that will probably come down to, what did the Bank of England do? What did the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank do? And does the economy provide the soft landing, or does something nastier come around the corner?
That is the known unknown. Russ, as ever, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. That is Russ Mould, Director of Research with AJ Bell.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.